All right. There are a lot of people here already, and good evening. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Popovsky, and, of course, the voice of the North Shore, Bill Newell. And the rink is filling up very rapidly. We're at the Bork Arena. It'll be Beverly against Danvers. And once again, our sight lines are going to be even worse tonight because down to our left, which is obscured to begin with, all the kids are standing up at the glass, and that's going to cut off a good portion of the ice down to our left in that left-hand corner. Tonight's game will feature the Danvers Falcons coming in with a record of 11-1-0 overall. They're 9-0 in the conference. They have won the Northeast Conference large. They've scored 59 goals and allowed 18 overall. In conference play, 46 goals scored and 8 allowed. Beverly Panthers having a good season as well. 5 wins, 3 losses, 2 ties. And they have scored 38 goals, 28 allowed in the conference. They're 9-4-3 overall. 9 wins, 4 losses, and 3 ties. They've scored 63 and allowed 46. First time around, it was Beverly winning. A check at Danvers winning by a score of 5-1. And, of course, this game only is meaningful in terms of pride and standings in the seedings for the state tournament. And right now, Danvers is ranked number 19 in Eastern Massachusetts. Noteworthy also, Paul Yameen's Newburyport Clippers are in the Super 8 right now. They're number 8 overall. And they'll be playing tonight. And if we get a chance, we're going to play the interview we did with Paul on Monday night. Right now, we're both teams are warming up. The Danvers Falcons are down to our right. They're all blue uniforms. Beverly Panthers down to our left with their off-white jerseys and the black piping, the black pants, the black helmets as we get ready for what should be a really good hockey game tonight between Danvers and Beverly. We'll take our first break of the night. You're listening to MSO News Sports. We got high school hockey coming right up.
Meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan, plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Our company has been proud to have supported high school sports on the North Shore for more than 30 years. Our student-athlete program recognizes championship performance in the classroom and on the field. Moynihan Lumber is also committed to championship performance when it comes to meeting all your building and home improvement needs. And if you're planning to change your kitchen, please visit our kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of our 3 locations. In Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Stronger, faster, tougher. When you need the MVP of community banks, look no further than the Institution for Savings. With 14 full-service offices throughout the North Shore, we have MVP rates and an all-star team to serve you. Bank from the ball field with our 24/7 online application apps, internet banking, mobile deposit, and more. Institution for Savings, your winning team. Visit institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Both teams still warming up, about 2 minutes away from the national anthem, the introductions of the national anthem. And Coach Kearns, must be an important game if Phil Stacey's up here and you both have long pants on, not the shorts.
Yeah, it's an indication of the very low temperatures outside and pretty low temperature in here as well. Though I did give consideration to putting the shorts on before I came here tonight.
I'm sure you did. Just to make a statement.
Exactly.
Interesting news coming out of St. Mary's football with Coach Durgan deciding to retire.
Yeah, according to everybody that we've talked to so far, everybody was blindsided by the decision that was announced today. He's been coaching for a long time. He had a long stint at Classville, a long stint at St. Mary's. He was coaching before that. Is it a time that he thought, well, maybe now's a good time? We know he went to St. Mary's because his daughters were going there and they were athletes. So he had a chance to, be part of their whole high school experience, and that's important to a father. And maybe now where the girls are are gone and probably graduated. Now it's the time that he can consider maybe, you know, some time for himself. So we want to wish him the best of luck in whatever his next endeavor is, because guys like that can't sit still for long.
For sure. All right, both teams almost finishing their warm-ups. We're going to talk about both of these teams' top two lines that are really tremendous, and maybe even three lines, several sets of defensemen as well. And we'll get to all that as our hockey game is coming up here pretty soon. Bill Newell's going to update us with some scores throughout the evening, and he's got a couple of final scores that he'll be passing along very soon. So, decent crowd, as I said. The sight lines here at the Bork Arena are terrible. They're just awful. Most fans choose to stand behind either goal and watch the game. Good student body representation for Beverly Panthers over on the left side, the opposite side of where we are on the near side. Danvers also has a whole bunch of kids here as well. So we'll take a break. We'll come back with the hockey game, as it'll be Danvers and Beverly coming up from the Bork Arena here at Endicott College here in good old Beverly, Massachusetts. And before we take a break, Bill Newell passing along a couple of scores. Swampscott, the Big Blue, winning tonight over Peabody 9-0. Those young Tanners just having a tough time getting on the scoreboard, but getting a lot of experience, a lot of freshmen and sophomores. And Swampscott having another great season. Also, the Lynn Jets beating St. Joseph's tonight 7-1. So we'll make sure we pass those scores along from time to time. Thanks, Bill. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with hockey tonight, Beverly and Danvers.
The skills you need to be a leader in sports and recreation. A master's in athletic administration from Endicott's Van Loan School prepares students for careers in schools, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, sports governing bodies, private sports clubs, and more. Van Loan's athletic administration master's program is 100% online with affordable tuition. Try a class before fully enrolling. Visit vanloan.endicott.edu/athleticadmin today.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Fabulous Fridays and Sunday brunch are back at the Gloucester House. World-renowned for its lobster dishes and fresh seafood specialties, the Gloucester House Restaurant, 63 Rogers Street, uses only locally caught, fresh North Atlantic seafood, offering traditional dining as well as catering to your private function needs. There is something for everyone and every occasion at the Gloucester House. Owned and operated by the Linquata family since 1959, they offer fabulous Friday lunch and dinner specials. And don't forget Sunday brunch from 10 to 2. For more information, go to GloucesterHouse.com. The Bradford Tavern in Raleigh is unique, with modern touches in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, the freshest seafood, and many quality daily specials. Serving lunch and dinner, the Bradford Tavern is open Tuesday through Sunday, 11:30 a.m. to midnight, closed Mondays. The restaurant features two separate function rooms ideal for every need, including business meetings, bridal and baby showers, or any special event. The Bradford Tavern is located at 87 Haverhill Street, Route 133 in Raleigh, and online at bradfordtavern.com.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Our company has been proud to have supported high school sports on the North Shore for more than 30 years. Our student athlete program recognizes championship performance in the classroom and on the field. Moynihan Lumber is also committed to championship performance when it comes to meeting all your building and home improvement needs. And if you're planning to change your kitchen, please visit our kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of our three locations. In Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Follow North Shore Sports at msonewsports.com. Live radio game coverage of the top local games. Feature interviews with players and coaches, both audio and videos. Join us Monday nights at 7 for North Shore Sports Night, an hour of local sports talk with featured guests. For scores, photos, radio and video interviews, live game coverage, spread the word. Check out msonewsports.com. Follow us on Twitter and get our easy-to-use mobile app, msonewsports.com.
Alrighty then, decent crowd, but stands on the near side where we are, pretty much empty. And that's kind of surprising. And again, this game doesn't mean anything toward the standings, but it will mean something in the final accounting in terms of seeding and everything else when the state tournament rolls around.
Well, the stands to our left are empty because all the kids are down at the glass.
Well, there's a few, yeah.
You know? Oh no, there's a straight line all the way down, so it would add.
Still, I'm surprised. But anyway, it's a Wednesday night, and it is a school night. And there's a good representation of both teams here. 5-1, Danvers winning the first time around, and we'll see what happens in this one. Of course, Danvers led by their big first line of Connor Pertel, Tom Mento, and Nick DeSciullo, as Mento leading the league in scoring with 17 goals, 12 assists, 29 points. On the other side, actually, he's second, as Paul Edson leads the league in scoring. He's back on defense for the Panthers right now. 31 points, including 16 goals. Up front, Tim McCarthy, Andrew Meza. Trying to see who's on the other side. Looks like it's... Can't get the number. Is it 18 or 8? Looks like it's Shane Cassidy. And Pertel wins the faceoff for the Danvers Falcons. Drops it back to the point. Matt Taylor with it. Slides it over to the right to J.P. Kelter. Werner away. Puck goes to the Beverly line. Cleared toward Meza. He loses it, being tracked down on defense by Taylor. And he slides it across toward his own goal, collected by Owen Desmond. Across the line, it's a delayed offside. Big hit on the near sideboard, leading the line down the left side, shot by McCarthy, and it's a save along the ice by Bublik. Jaeger Bublik in the net down to our right, and I think it's Troy Doyle in our left. It is. Troy Doyle in the goal down to our left. Just underway. 29 seconds played. No scoring. No shots on goal. Well, one shot on goal already. I know Kearns does a great job keeping shots on goal. Back to the point. Edson keeps it in. Flips it toward the goal. And it's gloved down by Taylor. Slid out to center looking for Pertel. Can't get it. And the Panthers bring it right back. Connor Hansen slides it around. And chase it down. Manning. Check it. Ryan Munzing. Can't come up with it. Does. Drops it back to the point, but there's a whole bunch of players, and it's brought out by Tom Mento down the left wing side. He disappears as we can't see him. Goes around the net. Edson has it for Beverly, and we got a penalty.
So the net became dislodged, so it might not be a penalty.
Okay, I didn't see that. Again, I can't see it, so. Okay.
I'll get my head out of the way.
Yep, I saw it. Nope. 58 seconds played. No score, no penalty. Face off to the left of Doyle. Looks like it's Hansen against Thibodeau. No, it's Patrick Cottreau for Beverly. And Thibodeau wins it for Danvers. Panthers trying to get it out. A little ragged right now. Comes out to center ice. And it's taken by Ken Richardson. Slides it toward the Danvers goal. Deflected and slapped around the boards by J.P. Kelton. Big hit along the sideboards again. Danvers player goes down. Puck comes out to center ice. Hacked right back in. Colin Desmond will pick it up for the Falcons. He'll slide it around the left side, trying to hook up with Puska, but can't. Puska loses it, comes to center. Where's the puck?
Very choppy play right now, Rick, as both teams are trying to establish some sort of offensive order.
Play is at center, and it is... the puck is being contested, let's put it that way. No clear passes yet. And no scoring chances really yet. Well, it's early. 2 minutes played. And Falcons have it in the Danvers zone. Braden Clark will slide it around the boards, trying to get it up to the point. Again, it disappears that left wing corner. We can't see anything. Comes out to center ice. Two Falcons chase it back toward their own goal. And it's Pertel who gets it. Wheels around at center. Long pass. to Mento across the line. He backhander can't get through, and he had a winger with him. It was Massiz. Comes back out to the line, kept in at the point by Matt Taylor.
Edson did a great job of blocking that attempt on goal on that last rush by Danvers.
Here comes Meza across the line. Andrew Meza with it, trying to one-hand it toward the net. He does. He slides one-hander save along the ice by Bublik, and he hangs on.
Yeah, couldn't get a whole lot on that shot as the defenseman was draped all over his back. So Beverly has two shots on net to none for Danvers. And again, it's just everybody's contesting every puck, so there's a lot of sticks and skates in the way.
Other scores from Bill Newell: North Reading 3 and Amesbury 1. That's a final in hockey and girls hockey. Peabody over Medford 3-1. And as we mentioned, Swampscott and Lynn also winners tonight. Play is at center. 3 minutes played, no score. Danvers and Beverly, big check right below us again as Munzing gets plastered into the boards. Another shot from long range, and that forces Bublik to make a save.
Yeah, shot fired right into the belly of the goaltender. Not a lot of problem on that shot. Wide open look. But again, Beverly getting some chances here early in the game. Love the Beverly uniforms. Rick Phil was telling me that they're the throwback classics.
Okay.
That they've had for the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, what's new for the Falcons is they've got the red stripes on their jerseys.
Yeah.
Looks like a flag type effect with the Falcon embedded in it. Falcon logo. Play is goal line extended. Danvers zone. Comes out left wing side. Across the line, down the left wing side is Cooper Adrian. Or is it Adrian Cooper? I've got to ask Coach Baldessari. We've got it as Cooper Adrian. So Cooper has it. And he gets it over in the left side to Will Flynn. Conglomeration of players in that left corner. And puck comes bouncing out to center. Edson can't collect it. He'll drop back on defense once again. Cam DiMeglio backhands it into the Beverly zone. Third line out there for the Danvers Falcons. And who's got it? Edson. Edson will flip it to center ice. Looking for a long pass to Munzing. He collects it at the line. Goes into the right wing corner. Avoids a check, still with it. Centering pass hits the back of the net. Excellent work by Munzing. He still has it. Shot. Save by Bublik. Man, that was labeled for the near corner. Bublik made the save. Hamlin forechecking, but the Falcons are able to get it out. Slide it into the Beverly end. Finn Crocker will track it down. Flip-flop with Edson. Long feed. Here we go. Panthers across the line. Oh, stolen away nicely by Colin Desmond. It was Hallinan with a chance, but great back-checking by Desmond. Hallinan fighting Desmond for the puck right-wing corner. Danvers end kept in by Crocker at the point. Stolen by Kelter for the Falcons. Flips it all the way around to Cal Mansfield. Can't get it out of the zone. Kept in by the Panthers just barely. And now it comes out to center. And there's a trip coming up on Beverly as the Falcons try to break it out. Tripping, first call of the night. 4:43, the time of the penalty, first period.
Yeah, that's a couple of times now the Beverly defensemen have tried to back in the puck back up towards the offensive zone. And it's bounced off of a Danvers player. And it happened again right there. And as the Danvers player tried to get up ice, they took his feet out from underneath him.
Braden Clark called for a tripping, 2-minute penalty. And this could be deadly. High-scoring team for the Danvers Falcons, and they don't give up many goals. Playing it back at the point, shot, and it goes over the goal. And now it's even hard for me to see with this face off because the coaches are... we have a very low angle here, and it's, man, this is like being on the ice. Connor Pertel is out there with his line with DeShulio and Mento. And it comes back to the point, slides it over the left wing side. On the left point is Jared Massiz, a forward, right out in front, goes behind the cage. The Falcons trying to press it, can't, as the Beverly Panthers are able to clear it. That's going to force Matt Taylor to go back and pick it up, being bugged by Meza. Meza goes down, and the puck comes away to the Danvers Pertel. Pertel is flying across the line. It's Mento. Mento with it. He is checked at the line, but it's collected on the right wing side. Shot by DeShulio. Glove save. Puck still alive. Left wing corner. Still 1:05 left in the penalty. Beverly clears it.
Very good job of penalty killing to this point so far for the Panthers, Rick. Doing a lot of job of interrupting the Danvers flow, getting sticks, getting bodies on men.
Pertel and Mento a year ago had 90 points between them, and they're pretty much on pace to do that once again.
Another steal at the blue line, and the ice, the puck sent down the ice again.
Good forechecking right now. One forechecker in for the Panthers. Now they bring in a second one as the Falcons will bring it out. On the left wing side, it's Thibodeau. He heads to the net right out in front. Try to leave it for Pertel. Can't pick it up. Goes back to the right point. Checked away by Hanlon and will break it out. He's a one-on-one on the left wing side. Desmond has the angle, but there's a shot glove save, and it falls on the ice, covered up by Bublik.
Well, Beverly has five shots to this one in the game so far, to one for Danvers.
15 seconds left in the man advantage for the Danvers Falcons. No real threat, but they still have time for one more flurry up ice.
No time to be resting on your laurels, having nearly killed off this penalty.
Well, that's the most people I've seen in a hockey game, that's for sure, so far this year. Face-off to the left of Bublik. It is controlled by Danvers. Desmond has it. Colin Desmond slides it up to the right point, tipped back to center ice. Across the line is Cal Mansfield. Goes into the right wing corner. Penalty is over. Where's the puck? It's at the blue line in the Beverly end, and the Panthers get it to center ice. Ryan Munzing, or check it, it's Aaron Carroll on the right wing side. He's checked, and here comes Danvers flying out of the zone. That's Jack Thibodeau. Right wing side, closes, shoots, loose puck, rebound, knocked away. Great effort that time by Thibodeau. Best scoring chance of the night for the Danvers Falcons. Here's Beverly with a two-on-one. Carroll centering pass, intercepted by Desmond. And he pastes Carroll into the boards. Beverly still has it, though. Edson, long shot, stick save on the ice by Bublik. Cleared out to center ice. Couldn't quite spring Pertel loose. And the Panthers send it right back in. Right wing side shot is partially blocked as Cottrell collides with Bublik. Cottrell gloved it, popped up in the air and gloved it again and hung on.
Yeah, Beverly getting some opportunities there, Rick, off of the kind of disheveled level of play to this point where everybody's just so active getting after the puck and getting after a body.
Centering pass, Munzing is knocked at by three players right in the slot. Pertel flying out right wing side, puts the brakes on in the Beverly end. Slides away from a check, gets it over to Massiz, and it's blocked out in front. Hanlon loses it. Mento turns it around, taken away by Cassidy, and out to center ice. Who's got it? Pertel once again across the line. Here he comes to Mento. Left wing side, can't get a shot off. Goes across the goal mouth, comes to the right wing side, and Meza slips it around the other side, still in the Beverly end. Beverly clears the zone. Hanlon checked, still has it. Right wing side, heads to the cage. He shoots, and blocked in front. He goes down. Danvers clears it as the pace is picking up.
They couldn't tell if it was saved there or not because he went right in front of the net with the puck.
Mento tries to spring loose left side. He's checked at the line. A Panther gets crushed at the line, but it's a 2-on-1, and it's a shot by Carroll. Another save by Bublik.
Well, one thing that has hurt Danvers is they've had up opportunities in front of the Beverly net, putting several crossing passes. They just haven't been able to connect. The puck has gone to the sideboard where they've had to chase it down and then try to stop the offense again.
Aaron Carroll has had some good opportunities on offense. He was a defenseman earlier, but now Edson is back on defense with Carroll up front on that line. This faceoff is controlled by the Panthers, and it is McCarthy shooting it, goes into the right wing corner. Heavy hitting in this game so far. A lot of checking. Edson back on D for Beverly at his own line. But Danvers has numbers. And it's out of sight right now, left wing corner. And now it's in front of the bench. We can't see anything. It is picked up by the Danvers defense. Looks like it's Desmond. And we have an offside. No, we have an icing on Danvers. So we're down to 5:44 in this first period. Just the one penalty so far. No scoring.
Well, at the pace they're playing, it'll be the third period before we know it, Rick. I mean, these guys are showing no no sign of slowing down the pace. It's just up and down the ice and hard checking and a lot of stick play, a lot of broken up passes.
Yeah, nothing clean. There's a lot of tight checking in this game up to this point. Here comes a heavy check right at us as offside, and it was Shane Cassidy who was crunched into the boards by a Falcon.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some achy bodies tomorrow after this game. There'll be a lot of guys doing soaps and hot tubs.
Well, I don't know why. It must be some kind of an icing call because of the faceoff goes all the way back in the Beverly end to the right of Doyle. And off the faceoff, the puck comes to center. Colin Desmond just slides it all the way around left wing side along the boards, goes behind the cage, comes back to the left corner. Cleared out to center ice, hacked at by Kelter. He can't keep it in. At center once again, a little disorganized play. Edson gets crunched by Thibodeau, but sends it back into the Danvers zone. There's another check left wing corner, and the Falcons will get it out to center ice. They'll
watching
bring it
Edson
out.
Is like watching Sedano Chara.
And you know it. He's got that reach. Cam DiMeglio has it in the left wing. He's got a tremendous reach and strides, two strides, and he's from one end to the other. Panthers form it up in their own zone, fired along the glass, goes into the Danvers end, no icing. DiMeglio will go back and pick it up for the Falcons. And where is it? Over the right wing side. Kelter slides it up ahead, Pertel across the line, sends it right wing feed to Jared Massiz, goes into the corner, Pertel to help out, trying to center it with the puck behind the cage, gets it back. Pertel into the left wing corner, and he's fighting for it out of sight. Drops it back to the right point. Score! Clap shot from Mento. He was at the top of the circle. Picks up his 18th goal. It's 1-0 Danvers.
Well, that happened very, very quickly. The puck was behind the net. It made it all the way back out to just beyond the far circle. And number 24, Desmond, I believe it was?
No, Mento, 22, I believe.
Mento?
Yeah, with a goal.
He let it rip, and it was past the Beverly goalie in a heartbeat.
He was an off wing, on his off wing, left-handed shot on the right side. Well, we'll pick it up. The announcements here are really good. You can hear them really clear. Yep, it's Mento. Massiz, the assist.
Time of 10 minutes, 42 seconds.
So the goal at 10:42, it's 1-0 Danvers, and that one just beat goalie Doyle. I don't know if he was screened or not, but a blistering shot by Mento, his 18th goal of the season.
Yeah, watching his reaction, that puck was past him to his shoulder, to his glove side.
So we have an offside or an icing. Icing against Danvers as we pick up the play. 1-0 Danvers, even strength goal. Mento left uncovered at the top of the circle, sort of a snapshot, and he beat Doyle glove side.
Yeah, I don't know if it was knuckling and he missed it, but he had his glove up as if he anticipated to catch it, and then it was behind him.
Draw one by the Danvers Falcons. Kelter gets it out of the zone. Intercepted by the Panthers. Hanlon right down the slot. Backhander save. Tucks it in again and tucked it into the pads, actually. Of Bublik, who covers up once again. 1-0 the score. Danvers Falcons, through 12 games, have given up
18. I believe it is.
18 goals, and through 9 games in the conference, only 8 goals. Back to the point, to a slot, bouncing. Puck is just cleared away in front of the defense by in front of the goalie by Kelter. Shot was kind of a weak bouncing puck by Crocker. Oh, set up, and Munzing can't quite get it. He overskates the puck. He was set up in the slot. Falcons bring it out with numbers. Across the line, what a hit on Massiz as he goes barreling down into the boards. It's Mansfield who gets checked, and it's covered up. The puck slides in on Doyle.
Well, I have an 11-4 shot advantage for Beverly by my unofficial count, Rick. And again, opportunity there, as you said, Beverly's last foray down the ice.
Inside the 3-minute mark at 2:53, 1-0 Danvers. But Beverly has had some good offensive thrusts in the Danvers zone. play right now in the Beverly zone. And the puck is sent to the Danvers end. Meza with the speed cuts in front. There's another save by Bublik, just kicking out his skate. And the Falcons bring it right back. Sucking, goal sucking at the line as Jared Massiz can't get the puck. And it comes back the other way. And centering pass intercepted by the Panther Shane Cassidy. He is dumped before he gets it ahead to Meza. And we got a penalty, it looks like, coming up on Danvers. Mento is saying, who, me? And, yeah, I think it is. I think he's going to get the penalty. He is.
A little cross-checking. Interference. Thank you, Phil. We do have Phil Stacey from the Salem News next to us, though he's a little under the weather, so he won't be joining us on the broadcast, but he will be joining us between periods.
14:41, the time of the penalty. First penalty of the game against Danvers. And they immediately clear the puck, angling it from left to right. Hustling back is Edson, who will form it up, send it left wing side. Pertel forechecking, keeps it in, and Hanlon comes away with it. Slides it over left wing side to McCarthy. He gets it back over to Massiz, but he is checked by Pertel in the Danvers end. Back to the point, off wing side, slot, a shot by Hanlon along the ice, rebound cleared all the way out to center, and it's going to lead Pertel with a rush. He heads right to the net, puts the speed on, he's just checked by Hanlon. Penalty? It's going to be a penalty on Danvers. I mean on Beverly, excuse me. Burst of speed by Pertel as he got inside the blue line, and from about the circle in between the circles, he just put on the jets and got the penalty.
Now it was an attempt to stop the man who had a clear breakaway.
Penalty shot.
Yes. Well, he had position. He had, you know, probably two steps. I mean, it was a valiant effort. He dove for the puck. He wrapped his stick around in front of Patel and swept it away. But took down the offensive player, and he can't do that. This is something you don't see a whole lot of in high school hockey.
Connor Pertel at his own blue line. The puck sitting on the goal at center ice here at the Bork Arena. Players on their knees, both sides. Here comes Pertel, winding up, heading to his right, crossing over to his left on his forehand. Now he heads to the net, shoots, and score. No, it's a save. I thought it was in. Looks like he fired it up high. So the score remains 1-0.
Now I think he managed to get a pad on it and blocked it off to the right-hand side, but he was so nonchalant after the save, we weren't quite sure what had happened.
Well, that'll lift the Beverly side of things. They still have a power play. Remember, that Pertel effort was short-handed.
Beverly penalty number 6, Connor Hanlon, a minor for tripping. Time is only 1 minute 35 seconds. Hanlon for tripping at 1:35.
Well, it's not 1:35, it's 13:35 for Hanlon. So he is in the penalty box. Now, how many we got? One, two, three, four. It's a 4-on-4, so they got a penalty shot. No, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, they got a penalty shot, but they don't get the man.
Well, you missed a shot from Edson that the goalie, Bublik, saved. It was just incredible.
48 seconds left in the man advantage. Here's a right-wing feed. Danvers coming around. It's Massiz with its stick handling, pirouetting and taken away by Edson right in front of the goal. Edson very calmly just takes it away, looking to make a pass. Sliding to center ice, long reach, gets it over right wing side to McCarthy, but he loses it in the Danvers end. 28 seconds left in the man advantage for the Panthers. Once again, here's a 2-on-1 for Danvers. Shot, save, rebound. Oh, can't do anything with it. Shot came from the left side. Rebound went to the right side, saved by Doyle. Long bouncing puck in. Oh, man, from center ice. Who fired that one? From center ice, it was Tasney, I believe. Here comes Shea, but he's blocked by Desmond. Penalty, 1 second left, cleared into the Beverly zone, no icing. 16 seconds left in the period. Edson being dogged by Pertel in the Beverly end. Edson gets it up to Carroll, looking for Shea. Can't connect with him. Taken away by Desmond at his own line, and that'll do it in the period. So the pace certainly picked up about halfway through the period, and we have one goal in the period. That was off the stick of Tom Mento, his 18th of the season, with Massiz getting the assist. So after one, it is 1-0 Danvers. This game is coming to you from the Bork Arena. We will take a break, and then we'll come back with more action here. 1-0, Danvers over Beverly.
The skills you need to be a leader in sports and recreation. A master's in athletic administration from Endicott's Van Loan School prepares students for careers in schools, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, sports governing bodies, private sports clubs, and more. Van Loan's athletic administration master's program is 100% online with affordable tuition. Try a class before fully enrolling. Visit vanloan.endicott.edu/athleticadmin today.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan, plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
All right, joining here between the first and second period at the Ray Bork Rink on the campus of Endicott College is, let's see, he's got a plethora of experiences, but he's currently the volunteer assistant with the Gloucester hockey program, Dave Curley. Dave, welcome. He's also the head soccer coach at Rockport, a man who wears many hats and during many different seasons. That was as fast a pace a first period as I think anybody has seen lately.
Yeah, I would agree, Tim. I thought Beverly had the better chances. Thought they were a little more dangerous. Danvers beat these guys 5-1 earlier in the season, my recollection. I think they probably came in here a little flat to start. I thought, as you just said, up and down the ice. They're both teams are skating hard, but not a lot of opportunities for the Falcons in the the first 6-7 minutes of the game. And Beverly, I thought, had the better of them there, if not for the power play goal. He's incredible, Mento. He's tough.
Yeah.
He's tough.
You know, they just kept getting in each other's way. Anytime they tried to get some offensive flow going, the other guys got in the way. Sticks got in the way. Bodies got in the way. The puck was bouncing off of sticks, bodies. Beverly missed on a lot of connections.
Yes, yeah. And you're absolutely right. And there were some loose pucks there for second opportunities. The Beverly players were just a little late getting there. I think what you described is spot on. These two teams play in this rink. They play each other twice. They see each other probably four or five times over the course of the year. And so there's no secrets. And they, you know, both coaches know what's going on out there with their opponent.
Yeah, and with Danvers, the biggest thing you could probably do, and I was thinking about this at the beginning of the game, is just be as disruptive as you can to their offensive flow. Because if you let them get into a flow, we know how devastating that offense is and how they can put goals, you know, into the cage before you even know it. So I think that is one of the things that Coach Chance has probably talked to his kids about, is be as disruptive as you can. Challenge every puck. Chase every loose puck, because they've done a great job of that.
I agree. Justin knows just what Danvers brings. And he seems to have a player in the right spot at every given time. That goal, it was just their guy was better than the other guy. Danvers' skill level, I think, is a little deeper. Beverly's trying to go with two lines predominantly, and I think as the game wears on, that may wear on Beverly, although Beverly seems to play their best hockey in the third period, so I wouldn't count them out.
Yep. The, on the Danvers goal, the puck went behind the net very quickly. And I'm not sure that Doyle had a chance to react to the puck being on the other side, because it got out very quickly to the top of that right circle, and he just labels it.
One time. Yeah,
you know,
one time.
He didn't wait on it. He didn't wait. He saw it and hit it. And that may have knuckleballed, because as I looked at Doyle afterwards, he had the glove up. And I think he was really surprised that it didn't end up in.
Well, you saw how quick he got the shot away. Tuukka's not getting that one. That one was spot on. And I was watching Danvers in warm-ups, and Mento took a couple of one-timers that were right in what we call in soccer jargon would be upper 90, that upper left and right-hand corners, yeah, that even goalies with quick gloves aren't going to get to. And Doyle's got a quick glove.
What's on tap for Gloucester coming up?
We've got an open date today. They're scrimmaging as we speak right now over at Talbot with Bishop Fenwick. On to Somerville this Saturday. Somerville, a team that we totally dominated from a shots perspective, 45 to I think about 10, and tied 2-2. So we want to even the score there. We were able to clinch the South title on Saturday up in Revere. And so now we're trying to build on that and get prepared for the second season.
The team certainly has played well this year, especially with a new coaching staff.
Derek and Matty Muniz both bring a pedigree that permeates the squad. Two class athletes when they were in high school, and then they went on, you know, playing at the Division I level at Holy Cross and at Dartmouth for Derek. And then Derek spends every waning moment with Ben Smith. You talk about pedigree.
Yeah.
So the two of them bring a lot of class. Their expectations are primarily they focus on the behaviors, playing as a team, playing hard, playing in control. And it's been a transition, but it's getting there. It's getting there, and it's starting to show.
Well, when they address the kids, they know from whence they speak. And
yes, they do.
The kids knowing their background is like, yeah, maybe we should really listen to these guys.
Yeah, they had the respect of the kids from day one, and they haven't done anything throughout the course of the year for it to have improved.
Can anybody slow Danvers down?
I haven't seen anyone in the Northeast Conference. Obviously, North Andover was able to. There's some good squads in that division, but. I don't know that there's anybody. We'll see. We've got to come here in a couple of weeks, and we'll see if we can't slow them down.
Rick is sending me smoke signals.
Lock Court Soccer.
Okay. Oh, so while we're on a season, I know, really, he's here for a hockey game.
Yeah, for hockey.
And Rick wants to speak soccer again. Your main love, and you keep going spot on through the course of the interview, and that's a British term.
That's true.
You know, and I'm thinking, okay, now he's talking soccer on me. what's up in the upcoming season for Rockwood Soccer?
No different than the previous seasons. We've got a good group of kids coming back, real nice group of kids that work hard. They're working, some of them are working right now at it. Being a small school, we get a lot of multi-sport athletes, so we don't have the specialists that some of the larger schools do. But the two- and three-sport athletes are, as you know, Tim, they're very competitive kids. They love to play. They're athletic. And they're generally very hungry in the fall for soccer. And so we're cautiously optimistic. We had a nice graduating class this season, and we're losing the goalie. If we can fill that hole, I think we're going to be a tough team in the fall to play.
Yeah, you know, you always hear the argument that some coaches don't want their players, especially their star players, playing other sports and want them to focus on that one sport. And then you hear, again, other coaches say, no, I want my kids playing as many sports as they can because it keeps you in shape all year long. It keeps developing all the other muscles,
yes,
that you don't use in that one particular sport. So you are stronger. You have more stamina. You can take the bumps and the bruises better than a kid who's just playing that one sport.
Yeah, you're right on there. I think that more and more. No, I won't say that. But you are. I think more and more coaches. You're hearing more and more coaches say that they would prefer multi-sport athletes so that they're not overtraining those muscles. I'm proud to say we had four kids playing at the next level last fall. All four of those players played multiple sports, and they weren't club players. So it can be done. You don't have to, you know, you do not have to specialize in one sport.
You know, and the danger, too, of doing that is you can suffer the burnout of playing just overplaying that one sport. You know?
No question about it. It happens in all sports, be it soccer, baseball, basketball, hockey. You're absolutely right. They get fatigued. And
it's the interest level. They say, oh, I got to go again. There's no variation.
Yep.
That they see some other kids doing. And
well, it's nice that they're around different coaches. Like you said, you were saying, different muscle groups are being used. A lot of the strategies are applicable. Hockey and soccer, a lot of things go hand in hand. Soccer and lacrosse, a lot of things hand in hand. Even how you play defense as a team and individually goes hand in hand with basketball. So it crosses over well.
Yeah. I want to check with Rick, see if there's anything else I should be asking before we wrap this up and head to another break. Are you all set, Rick?
Wait, I'm ready. Yeah.
We're all set to go to break?
Yeah.
All right, I want to thank Dave Gray for being our between period guest here. And we don't have a gift certificate to the clothing store of your choice, unfortunately. but we do appreciate you being here and just standing behind us next to us. Throw us some insights for what you see during the course of the game.
I think you guys have it covered. But yeah, thanks for having me on, Tim.
Okay, great. Thanks very much. And we'll be right back with third period action right after this.
Stronger, faster, tougher. When you need the MVP of community banks, look no further than the Institution for Savings, with 14 full-service offices throughout the North Shore. We have MVP rates and an all-star team to serve you. Bank from the ball field with our 24/7 online application apps, internet banking, mobile deposit, and more. Institution for Savings, your winning team. Visit institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Our company has been proud to have supported high school sports on the North Shore for more than 30 years. Our student-athlete program recognizes championship performance in the classroom and on the field. Moynihan Lumber is also committed to championship performance when it comes to meeting all your building and home improvement needs. And if you're planning to change your kitchen, please visit our kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of our three locations. In Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
We're just about ready for the second period. Hello once again, I'm Rick Moore along with Tim Kearns. You just heard from Rockport soccer coach Dave Curley, a volunteer assistant for Gloucester High School Hockey, scouting this game, scouting Danvers Falcons. Winthrop beat Marblehead tonight 2-1. Marblehead getting on the scoreboard but coming up short to Winthrop by a score of 2-1 in hockey. Other scores, it was Swampscott 9, Peabody 0, Lynn 7, St. Joseph's 1, North Reading 3, Amesbury 1, and girls action, Peabody over Medford 3-1. We start the second period with Danvers leading this one by a score of 1-0, 5-on-5. Only goal of that first period, only goal of the game so far, Tom Mento, his 18th of the season, his 30th point of the season for the Danvers Falcons. Danvers on the attack right away, and a turnaround shot in the slot by Pertel, stick save by Doyle. Shane Cassidy for Danvers, slides it ahead to Cottrell across the line. He's 1-on-3, loses an edge, just falls down on the brand new ice surface, but it's intercepted by McCarthy, gets it over to Meza, shot blocked, goes into the right wing corner. Carroll on it first for Beverly in the Danvers end. Danvers down to our left this time with Bublik in the goal, keeping Beverly off the scoreboard in that first period. Comes back to the right point. Panthers controlling. Backhanded, intercepted by Mento. Slides it ahead, looking for Pertel. Can't get it, and it goes around the... taken by Beverly. Sent into the Danvers end. Bublik out of the net. Leaves it for a defenseman. Comes out to center. Mento right at center ice, as Dave was just saying. Danvers playing very aggressively, 2-on-1 in the Beverly zone, and Massiz gives it over to Pertel. Open side save by Doyle, the save of the night. Great pass, better save. Oh my. Pertel fighting Edson for the puck. Comes over to Cassidy for Beverly. Tries to get it ahead to Carroll, but he's intercepted at the line. Finally, Carroll does have it, slides it out for The Panthers, Ryan Munsing, loses it at center. Off the stick of Cassidy trying to get off the ice. Backhands it to Munsing at the line. And it's just offside.
Who do you have for number 13 for Davis? Because he's not on the roster.
Massiz. Jared Massiz. You got the Beverly roster there.
Not over here.
Danvers, 13. Jared Massiz.
You show me 13. 14, 15. 12, 14. I didn't get
it. I don't think that's... Let me see. That's the Beverly roster. That's what I said. You get two Beverly rosters. That's Beverly. Paul Edson plays for Beverly.
Why'd you do that to me? You're killing me. Oh, there he is.
Okay, 2 minutes played.
We'll talk about this later.
No, we won't.
That's right, because you'll probably forget.
Unless you buy me one for a change. Okay, right wing. You know, all the money I pay you, Tim.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
Looked for it the other day.
Okay. A little ragged play right now, so we're just bantering back and forth. But it's back and forth, puck between the blue lines. Now it's in the Danvers end. 1-0 Danvers. Beverly down by that one goal. They've got Munsing down. Not Munsing, check it. It's Hanlon forechecking right side. Drops it back to Munsing. Comes off the boards, drops it back to the right point. Slid back down into Hanlon, trying to center it. Looking for Hallinan. Loses it, and here comes Danvers out of the zone. Back checking as Munsing steals the puck and drops it back to Braden Clark, who sets it up, gets it back into the right wing side. It is over to Meza. He's across the line, slides it across the goal mouth. And we think we may have offside.
Just breaking the action, I want to say hello to my good friend Bob Boyce, assistant baseball coach at Danvers High School, longtime assistant baseball coach to Roger Day. He just checked in with a message, and I know he's waiting for this cold weather leave the area.
Yeah, so you can play baseball in the hot summer weather that we have in the springtime. Yeah, okay. Sure. Panthers backtracking. Cassidy in his own zone. Looks for Meza right side. Intercepted along the boards by Massiz. He is knocked down, and it's cleared with a delayed offside into the Panthers' end. They'll get it out to center ice, but nobody controlling. Mento avoids a check, and it's intercepted by Meza. But Mento gets it right back, fires it, goes off the inboard to the side of the cage. Mercy, what a shot. But wide, out to center it comes. Meza gets it at the blue line. In the Danvers end, sliding in the left wing corner. He's checked, gets some help from Cassidy. Matt Taylor back on defense, trying to take the puck for the Falcons. Slides it to Pertel, but it's still behind the cage. Meza's still fighting for it for Beverly. Edson keeps it in, but it's just hacked out of the zone. No control by Desmond. Play is at center. Comes into the Danvers end. 2-on-1. Shot. Save. And off-wing shot. I can't see who it was. Looks like it might have been Cassidy, but it's a save by Bublik, who's done that all night long. No, the shot was by Ken Richardson. Now that I see
Beverly had a 3-on-none there for a moment as the puck got stopped just inside the blue line, and the Danvers player skated over the line and into center ice.
Played a little more than 4 minutes into the second period. 1-0. Danvers. Great crowd on hand tonight. Stands filled up on the far side in that far quarter. There are four quarters plus behind each goal. And I'd say two of the quarters are filled. That makes it about a half full rink, doesn't it? Play is in the Beverly Danvers end, kept in at the line by Shea, but he loses it. And the Falcons bring it out. Centering pass is intercepted by Clark for Beverly. Sends it ahead to Shea, left wing side. He redirects it into the zone. Collected down low by Kelter. Sends it up to the right wing side. Goes over to the left wing side to Thibodeau. He loses it. Where's the puck? Nobody knows. There it is. Munsing shot into the face mask. Goes down, saved by Bublik. Puck still alive. Oh, man. What a shot by Munsing. Play is, puck is just pinballing around among players' legs at the moment at center ice. Controlling is Thibodeau. He needs a change, so he'll stop at the line, send it into the Beverly end. Munsing slides it around to Crocker, but can't control it. Goes to the left point. Matt Taylor backhands it, and the puck skips out, back out to center ice. Munsing racing for the puck, but back checking easily as Owen Desmond has it. And he gets it over to a teammate, Nick DeSciullo. but it is, we have a penalty? Interference? I think we have a penalty here.
Number 16 on your list.
That's Tyle Huska, who was called for the interference.
I don't know. These guys have been getting in each other's way all night long. I don't know how you pick out an interference.
Penalty comes at 5:34 of the second. First penalty of the second period. So the faceoff will be to the left of Bublik. Isn't that a great hockey name? Jaeger Bublik. I love it. Edson, slap shot, block. Where's the puck? Hops up into the, well, into the area of the crease, and so it's pounced on by Bublik. And remember, these penalties are 2 minutes in length now this year. Each of the teams I've seen seem to have adjusted to it pretty well. Danvers with a shorthanded bid earlier. They, in fact, got a penalty shot on a shorthanded bid, but were unable to score. Beverly forms it up in their own zone, looking to get an attack going. Hanlon checked at the line. Puck is out of sight right now. It hops into the left wing corner in the Danvers end. Four or five players fighting for the puck over there. It's at the left point, slides it over to Edson, right point. Sends it down deep to Hanlon, back to, well, just playing catch back and forth between Hanlon and Edson. Shot, score!
Oh, great!
Cross-ice feed to Meza from Hanlon. And it's 1-1. Meza with the goal. Hit the open side. Terrific pass, terrific shot.
They spread the Danvers defense. It went from Edson up high in between the circles to the right circle, across the ice, across the front to Meza, and he just one-timed it.
Yeah, he had the open side. It was very quick. Tie score 1-1 with 7:23 gone now in the second. We'll pick up the assist as it's announced. Saugus and Medford 0-0 after two. Thank you, Bill. Once again, bouncing puck in on Bublik, and he has to track it down like a shortstop.
Well, that was as efficient a goal as you're going to see. Pass, goal. And again, they found the openings in the Danvers defense.
And there's a power play goal. Game tied at one. We'll see if there are two assists on that one. It might be. I think Hanlon might have got one.
Well, we got a score number 23, Andrew Meza. Assistant by number 17, Paul Edson. Timeout
on
6 minutes, 23 seconds.
Edson just the one
assist. They left the guy out in the middle.
Yeah, they left Hanlon with who really set up the shot. Yeah. Edson went down to Hanlon. Hanlon centered it across the goal mouth, and bang. Meza put it home. He had an open net to shoot it in. Okay, halfway through the hockey game right now. It is tied at one, and Beverly continues to keep the puck in the Danvers end.
Well, you know, it's almost as it should be, because Beverly has played so well tonight. To be behind as much as they've had the puck and as many opportunities.
Look out here. 2-on-1. Mento with Pertel. Slides it across. Pertel is checked off the play.
Great
into the right
checking.
Wing side. Comes back to the right point, and the shot is by Kelter. It doesn't quite get through, and the Panthers will form it up and get it out. Too far ahead for Hanlon. He can't catch up, but he steals it. Heads down the right side, circle, trying to ward off. Centering pass!
Oh, what a save!
And we got a fight going on now. That's not cool at all. Callanan.
The Beverly play, number six. Caught a hand and went in on that shot. His momentum carried him into the goalie. And Bublik took exception to it. And immediately get up and started throwing punches at him. Hate to see that.
Hanlon,
be interested to see if there's penalties for this.
Hanlon and Hallinan had the pressure on offense. Now the officials are going to come talk to both coaches, I believe. Well, let's see what the disposition of this is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 Falcons on the ice right now. And three Beverly players. So somehow I don't think that's going to stand.
Is there a new rule we don't know about?
I don't know. 8-on-3? No penalty.
One, two, three.
No
four,
penalties.
Five.
Okay.
And
no harm, no foul.
They told them both to calm down.
All right. It's hockey.
You would.
Big check at center ice. Falcons race into the Beverly end. But first man back is Shane Cassidy. Loses it, though. It's going to be set up at the point. Desmond tries to get it through, sends it down to the left wing side. Mansfield is in the corner left. He'll backhand it around the boards, pick it up. And skating, goal line extended, comes back out to the right point. And it helps out of the zone. Kelter sends it back in offside.
Yeah, when the puck was in the Beverly corner right down in front of the rink, Etten did a great job of poke-checking it off of the Danvers stick and getting it back up along the sideboards.
Edson will stay on the ice as long as he can. As long as he's got gas in the tank out there. Edson, look out. Mento down the slot. Pertel tries to center. It can't. Comes back to the point. Desmond through a screen is blocked. And it's taken away by Hallinan, who was involved in that scrum a minute ago. Out to center. Munzing racing for the puck. He's being checked by Desmond. Play right now between the blue lines and neutral zone. Edson has it. Looking for a centering feed to Hanlon off his stick too far. Comes back to Pertel. Knocks it down. Picks up Mento on the right wing side. Pertel sliding behind the cage. Centering pass. Here it comes from center point. Slap shot saved by Doyle. Desmond with a big booming shot, but Doyle saw it all the way. Desmond with another chance from the top of the circle right. This time it's a wrister. Bouncing pass. Redirect by Pertel. Cassidy has it. Slides it over on the left wing side. Over to Edson. Clears it out to center. And Matt Taylor has it.
Yeah, it's just misconnecting with Munzing.
Cleared
on
back.
That centering pass right.
Cleared back out to center. And this time it's Pertel who loses it. So right now it's a long shot from outside the blue line. And it's covered up by Doyle. Shot by Taylor. Kind of a weak shot, but Doyle had to make the save. Down to 5:29. Game is tied. Tommy Mento for Danvers back in the first period at 10:42. And at 7:23, power play goal by Andrew Meza. Set up beautifully by Hanlon and Edson. Although Hanlon is not credited for an assist. Cassidy fires it around the boards in his own zone, looking for some help from Crocker. Cassidy has it right wing side, but Danvers is forechecking mercilessly right now. DeShulo in the corner. He's down low, fighting for the puck. Getting some help from Puska. And it comes out to center ice finally. Meza across the line. He's got the Beverly goal. Knocked off the play. Goes in behind the cage, behind Bublik. Comes out to the right point. Fired around the boards by Crocker. And it bounces off the end boards back into the glove of Bublik, who hangs on.
Again, they still are continuing that frenzied pace that we saw in the first period, Rick, where, again, both teams are just attacking the man with the puck. They're breaking up. They're dislodging the puck. They're breaking up passes. They're getting in passing lanes.
Play is in the Danvers end, kept in by Crocker right point. Slides over to Krotzel, but he can't keep it in. Danvers, Thibodeau with it. Shoots from long range. It goes into the right wing corner from the left side. Edson, with a big long strides, gets it over to Crotto, who is behind his own goal right now. Sends it over the right wing side, trying to get some help out of the zone by Richardson. And they do. They clear it into the Danvers end. No icing. Falcons go back and pick it up and form it up out of view here. Play is at center ice. Richardson fighting for the puck. Thibodeau has it. Sends it left wing side over to Matt Taylor leading the attack. He's on the rush and he loses it. Panthers will bring it out with a 2-on-1 at the moment. 2-on-1 with Edson on the left side. Meza on the right side. Slides it home. Oh, and it's sticked away by Bublik. Waited a little bit too long on that one and didn't quite form up the way they wanted to. Right back Thibodeau on the other end. He heads down and is knocked down with, an elbow and then a stick, but no penalty. Play is
hockey, Rick.
In the Beverly end. Desmond,
like you said.
Desmond keeps it in, and then it's checked out of the zone. Up to the line. Munzing is knocked down. He misfires. The puck goes into the left wing side. and everybody changes up, and we have a whistle, icing, or icing.
Yeah, both teams took the opportunity to change the men on the ice.
This is icing on Danvers.
It was two guys going down the ice. It's like nobody behind them at all because they were all getting off the ice.
And nobody had the puck. They just left the puck there. Everybody was flying away.
Well, that's happened a lot tonight because there's so much disruption.
3 minutes left to go in the second period. Beverly continues to be aggressive. They score!
Oh!
A tip-in on what seemed to be a
17.
Pass. And it was Edson. And it was 12, wasn't it?
Let's
I think
see.
It was Hallinan.
Oh,
I think Hallinan got the goal.
Wow.
He redirected it. There was looked like a pass out in front, and he just tipped it in, and Hallinan gets the go-ahead goal, 2-1 Beverly. Wow. So the Panthers now lead. This goal comes at 11:56. And it's now 2-1 Panthers.
Damn, is right back.
Hit the post, comes back the other way. And it's Patel with it. Slides it down deep. Well, Hanlon gets credit for this assist. As he passed it down, do we have a high stick? I think we have a penalty.
So Hanlon has two assists for the evening.
Well, one that he's credited with.
Yeah.
Now this is a penalty for a high stick on Danvers. It comes at 14-13. I'm sorry, 12-13. Excuse me, 12-13.
We know the.
And it's on the Sizz.
Coaching staff won't be happy with that penalty because it's a penalty of emotion. And you're down two to one. The situation you probably haven't found yourself in yet this year, and you got to maintain your cool.
13 seconds.
Oh, it's called a cross check. And
oh, nice cross.
Beverly
pass.
On the attack. Here comes Meza. He just checked off the play at the line. Falcons clear it once again. 2:19 left to go in the period. A minute and a half left to go in the penalty. Danvers a little disorganized. Beverly a little disorganized right now on the attack. Meza with it in his own zone as the Panthers have to retreat. Edson will circle back. Backhanded feed over the right wing side. And it's brought out of the zone by McCarthy. He's flying left wing side. Tries to center it. Keeps it. Goes behind the cage. Drops it back to the right point. Edson back down to McCarthy. Closes. Shot. Wide. Goes to the left side. Comes back out to the left point. Kept in by Hanlon. Shot through a screen. Doesn't get through. As Munzing couldn't collect it. In the slot. Puck knocked away. Side pass. It's in the side boards. And the Falcons will bring it out. They bring it out with a two-on-two. Mento and Pertel. Pertel from the top of the circle. Slap shot over the cage.
Opening up now, Rick.
Short-handed bid. Back down the zone it comes. And it's going to be Matt Taylor off the board. Sends it all the way back into the Beverly end. 28 seconds left in the penalty. Beverly, no real chance this time in this power play. Hanlon across the line.
Sorry, Rick.
Loses it on the dribble. Goes into the left-wing corner. 16 seconds left to go. Here come the Falcons with a breakout. Right wing side, centering pass, and it's just knocked away. Leading the attack was, I don't know, DeShulo. Back the other way it comes. 1 second left in the penalty. It's over. 5-on-5, 45 seconds left. DeShulo blasts it. Glove save. That was wide, but Doyle decided to hang on anyway and give his team a chance to change up.
Well, as I said, in the last couple of minutes, this has really opened up. Much different than the first period and a half of play. Both teams flying up and down the ice, getting opportunities. Beverly, again, still getting the better of the opportunities.
Goals in this period by the Panthers. Meza and Hallinan, they've got the 2-1 lead. Mento, the goal for Danvers. Here comes Meza again, across the line by himself, cuts to the net. Once again, he crashes into the goalie.
Well, they are just driving it at the net. And they're beginning to connect on those passes coming out of their own zone into center ice. And they're catching the Danvers defenseman up ice a bit, and they're getting opportunities.
30 seconds left to go in this second period. 2-1, Beverly has the lead. Face off to the right of Bublik. Controlled by Danvers. And they'll bring it out. Leading the attack with misses is Pertel. But back checking nicely is Carroll. Whips it around the boards. Right wing side to Munzing. He's checked. Kept in by the Falcons. In the slot. Mento fires it up high. And there's an elbow after the whistle. You know, I think the officials might want to call a penalty here pretty soon. Starting to ratchet up a little bit.
Right.
Although
both sides are doing it.
As coach, yeah.
Both sides
that's my point.
Are doing it.
That's my point.
Yeah, but it's not to that. I don't see it as to that point. We're going to start, you know, putting teams at a man disadvantage. They're playing a little tricky. This is a very intense game between two teams, two really good teams. And again, you know, they're neighbors. And there's a lot of bragging rights that goes with games like this.
And a lot of these guys know each other.
Of course they
off
do.
Ice as well.
Yeah.
5 seconds left to go in the second. 2-1 Beverly. And play is at center, so that's where it will end. So a wild second period. 2 goals in the second period. Beverly picking both of them up. It was Andrew Meza at 7:23, a power play goal set up by, the assist is going to Paul Idson, but Hanlon was also involved in that one with the cross-ice feed that Meza scored on. And then Hanlon in at 11:56 for Beverly. Hanlon did get credit for the assist on that one, and that made it 2-1 for the Beverly Panthers as they have taken the lead. The only goal for Danvers thus far, Tom Mento, at 10:42 of the first. Just one penalty, no, two penalties in the period to Danvers. Tyler Pusko was called for interference at 5:34, and then Massiz for a cross-check at 14:13. All penalties are off the board right now. So after two, it is Beverly 2 and Danvers 1. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll check in with Tim, who will have Phil Stacey, the Salem News sports editor, as his guest between periods. This game is coming to you from the Bork Arena at Endicott College.
Stronger, faster, tougher. When you need the MVP of community banks, look no further than the Institution for Savings, with 14 full-service offices throughout the North Shore. We have MVP rates and an all-star team to serve you. Bank from the ball field with our 24/7 online application apps, internet banking, mobile deposit, and more. Institution for Savings, your winning team. Visit institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Our company has been proud to have supported high school sports on the North Shore for more than 30 years. Our student-athlete program recognizes championship performance in the classroom and on the field. Moynihan Lumber is also committed to championship performance when it comes to meeting all your building and home improvement needs. And if you're planning to change your kitchen, please visit our kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of our three locations. In Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Get the skills you need to be a leader in sports and recreation. A master's in athletic administration from Endicott's Van Loan School prepares students for careers in schools, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, sports governing bodies, private sports clubs, and more. Van Loan's athletic administration master's program is 100% online with affordable tuition. Try a class before fully enrolling. Visit vanloan.endicott.edu/athleticadmin today.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Fabulous Fridays and Sunday brunch are back at the Gloucester House. World-renowned for its lobster dishes and fresh seafood specialties, the Gloucester House Restaurant, 63 Rogers Street, uses only locally caught, fresh North Atlantic seafood, offering traditional dining as well as catering to your private function needs. There is something for everyone and every occasion at the Gloucester House. Owned and operated by the Linquata family since 1959, they offer fabulous Friday lunch and dinner specials. And don't forget Sunday brunch from 10 to 2. For more information, go to GloucesterHouse.com.
We're at the second intermission, and Beverly leads 2-1. Phil Stacey a little under the weather, so we're going to switch gears. We talked with Paul Yumin, Newburyport High School hockey coach, on Monday night. They've got a big game tonight against Triton, so we're going to replay that interview with Newburyport High School hockey coach Paul Yumin. They're ranked number 8 in the state right now, and then they're Super 8. All right, we're back now with Newburyport High School hockey coach Paul Yumin. Coach, welcome back.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Coach, you know, your season has progressed, I think, pretty much as... This computer's 100 years old. Sorry about that. I was going to say, it seems to me, you guys, it's progressed as you were, I think, sort of predicting and expecting. Big win this weekend over St. Mary's. Tell us a little bit about that one and what it means for the program and your objectives this year.
Yeah, that's certainly a big win. You know, St. Mary's is defending state champs. They were in the game the past 2 years. They're always one of the top teams in the state. So, you know, anytime we can go down there and get a win is huge for us.
What was the key to that game?
Well, I think, you know, Kenny was very good. Our goaltending was very good. But I think our game plan, you know, I think we established a game plan out there, and you know, I think it worked. We tried to keep the puck in the perimeter and let Kenny see the puck, and, you know, he made the saves, and I think the majority of their shots came from the perimeter. You know, they had one goal. It was a power play goal. So, you know, 5-on-5, you hold them to no goals. We did pretty well.
I'm looking at your stats, and if this is right, you've given up 21 goals in 14 games. Is that right?
That's correct.
So that's about 1.5 per game. So, obviously... you know, Ken Hodge is doing it, but the rest of the guys must be chipping in on defense as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that's the message. You know, we're going to play from the goal out, and we're going to defend the scoring area, and we're going to try and keep the puck in the perimeter and let Kenny see the puck. And I think, you know, we've done a pretty good job at that. So he's playing very well, and you got to ride the hot goalie.
Now, what do you have, three more league games left?
Three or four. You know, I think four.
Okay. All right, and I'm looking at your schedule. Yeah, I see Amesbury there at the end. But you're stacking it up, man, at the end with do I see St. John's Prep on your schedule?
Yeah, we've played them for the past couple of years. This will be our third consecutive year playing them. Yep.
Okay, I remember that. All right. So now what's the goal now, Coach? You've got the tournament. I imagine you want to win the league, but you know, what do you do the rest of the way? Do you change things up a little bit or just kind of keep it as it is?
No, I think we're going to keep it as is. We're getting healthy as we go here in the season, which is good. And, you know, one game at a time. One game at a time.
Mm-hmm. All right, so name a kid or two who's risen to the occasion besides the usuals. You know, we talked about your captains, and we talked about your goalie, your defense. Give me another kid who's chipped in a little bit more than maybe you had expected.
Well, there's quite a few, so I could throw a couple out there.
All right.
You know, we have a few juniors on the team that have stepped up. Cade Bopalon and Jake Grossy Hogg and Patrick Leary. You know, they've stepped up in the past few games as juniors for us. Yeah.
Okay. All right, Coach. So this week you've got Triton, and you know, you've played them once already. What do you expect from them?
Well, it's a big rivalry game. You know, it's always, if you don't come to play, we're going to be in trouble. You got to play three periods against them. I think, you know, there's a little more incentive for them out there. You know, we were just put on the Super 8 list, which is, you know, something that, you know, a team like Triton would use that as a little more incentive, I would believe, you know.
Yeah.
So that's the message to our guys. Just, you know, be mentally prepared and understand what we have coming at us. And, you know, we're not going to change anything, and we'll see what happens.
We've done games in Beverly the last few weeks in the Northeastern Conference, and
I don't know, maybe I'm imagining it, but it looks like there's a little bit of a change with respect to the penalties. It seems like the teams are acclimating a bit more to that. And by that, I mean the penalty killing. It looks to me like the penalty killing is getting a little better. Have you noticed that in games that you've played, either with the opposition or your own team?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, I think a lot of coaches have stressed it. I've talked to a lot of coaches this year about it, and I think we're all on the same page. We're all for the 2 minutes. It's just, you know, you need to extend the periods, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, obviously you have to spend a little more time. You have to get a little more depth in that area. So we spend a lot of time on, you know, we have six or seven guys that we think we could put out there and kill for us.
Okay.
Because of the, you know, you have to have that kind of depth with the 2 minute penalties.
Has that made any difference with respect to discipline? Again, either with your team or other schools you've seen?
As far as the penalties go?
Yeah, you know, there's a couple of schools in particular up here that have a, you know, they got a reputation of playing chippy, and I haven't seen one of them very much, but the other one I have, and it seems like they're, you know, there's good heavy hitting, but it's not that little extra chippiness going on. I don't know, again, maybe it's my imagination. I guess what I'm asking, any difference in what you've seen in terms of that kind of play?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I would think so. I mean, we talk about it. You know, we talk about, we don't want to change our style.
Right.
Because of the 2 minute penalties. I mean, we want to be physical and we want to finish checks. But at the same time, you don't want to look for the big hit if you don't have to. You know, that's our message. We want to play the body, but obviously if you don't want to look for that big hit because sometimes it gets you in trouble.
Yeah, I'm guessing you don't look to Brad Marchand as a role model.
Well, I think I'd take him.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess so. If he just reel it in just a tad, but I guess that makes
sense. Yeah. No, I mean, I might live with a guy like that.
Yeah, I hear.
Live with a guy like that.
I'm sure. Well, you know what? I bet you could handle it, Coach. Anything else you want to mention? Because man, we're in the stretch run here, and I just want to congratulate you. I remember talking to you. You know, it seemed like a couple weeks ago. Well, it was just a couple weeks ago, and how excited you were, and how the boys were ready, and looks like they have they put together what's maybe a really great thing going on here.
Yeah, you know, we're excited, but at the same time, we want to keep level-headed, and, you know, this is something I've talked to these guys about. It's, you know, I think back in, I don't know, 2009, 2010, we were mentioned as far as a Super 8 candidate, and things didn't work out too well for us the next game. So we're just trying to keep things on an even keel here and you know, take it game by game.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's talk about that further down the road. Meantime, good luck this week, Coach, and once again, thanks for taking the time with us.
I appreciate it, you guys. Always look forward to talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Take care.
Good luck, Coach.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Get the skills you need to be a leader in sports and recreation. A master's in athletic administration from Endicott's Van Loan School prepares students for careers in schools, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, sports governing bodies, private sports clubs, and more. Van Loan's athletic administration master's program is 100% online with affordable tuition. Try a class before fully enrolling. Visit vanloan.endicott.edu/athleticadmin today.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The third period is underway. 2-1 Beverly leading this one over Danvers, and the Falcons press the attack right away off the faceoff with Mento in the zone. Drops it back to the left point. It just hops out of the zone. It'll be offside. And the faceoff will come outside the Beverly blue line. Tim's checking his 50-50 ticket. Beverly leading 2-1 in this one.
9-0-4-8-6-4. I had 9-0-4-4-6-4.
He didn't say that?
Oh. No, he said 8-6-4.
Oh, boy. Okay.
So once again, I'm very happy to contribute to the Beverly Panthers.
There you go. All right, Mento drops it back to Desmond, right point, slides it all the way around, goes behind the cage. Edson for Beverly is checked into the boards.
out of sight, left side in front of us. Back to the left point it comes. Taylor tries to close, goes into the left corner, sends it around, centering pass. Mento can't collect it. Patel has it. He's being checked by McCarthy. Patel has two Panthers on him now behind the cage. Centers it, and it hops out of the zone. Checked by Cassidy. He's going to lead the attack, but he, in turn, is caught up. And he tries to slide it across, goes wide, as he was caught up, or caught by Matt Taylor. I'll get it out of my mouth eventually.
Yeah, but Meza was coming down the down center ice and just missed. He lost his edge, cutting to the net to deflect that.
Panthers get it to center ice. Colin Desmond for Danvers. Hard pass left side up to Taylor. Redirects. Blocked at the line. Taylor gets it back. Gets it over to Kelter. He'll shoot it diagonally from right to left into the corner. Beverly zone. Who's got it? Panthers do. Slides it out to center. One of the defensemen can't see the number. Munzing can't come up with it, and it's intercepted by Danvers, and they shoot it right back into the Beverly end. 2 minutes played, third period, 2-1. Beverly. Danvers with a little bit of territory advantage at the moment. Panthers bring it out. Braden Clark, a defenseman, leading the attack. Puts the brakes on at center ice and slams it off the boards behind the Danvers cage. Here come the Falcons, breaking it out of zone, but it's a misfire. Munzing intercepts, falls, comes back and shoots. It's a stick save. Another save by Bublik. And McCarthy has it now. Drops it back to the left point. Edson fires it. Doesn't. Oh, man, it goes across the goal mouth. And the Falcons clear it. Massiz has it. He's one-on-one in the other zone. Goes into the left wing corner. Gets some help. McCarthy goes over there to check. I gotta slow down here. Centering pass, and that goes wide off the stick of Pertelli. He's got it on the doorstep. He can't. Oh, he does. Now he slams it home. The puck was loose in the crease. Pertelli was there for two shots, got the second one, and just wrapped it in. It's 2-2. Pertelli the goal.
Well, Doyle made the first save on Pertelli with the right pad. But the bounce, the ricochet came right back to Patel, and this time he lifted it over the pad.
Patel's 14th of the season. This goal is at 2:46 of the third. We'll see who gets the assist.
And the goal scorer number 9, Carter Pertel. Assisted by number 11, Jack Thibodeau. Number 13, Jared
Massoud. Thibodeau and Massoud get the assists. And Danvers comes right back. They're in the slot. Centering pass. Oh, how did he miss that? Patel was set up and he fired it. And the save was made by Doyle. Danvers with all kinds of chances here early in the third. They tied it up 2-2 with Patel getting the goal. His 14th of the season. Mento has his 18th of the season. It's 2-2. Danvers coming right back. Owen Desmond out there for the Falcons. In the zone, Pertel hacks at it one-handed. Cleared away by Edson out to center. Can't make connections with Munzing, and so it's icing against Beverly. Almost 4 minutes played. The score is tied at 2.
Well, they're still getting in each other's way quite a bit early in the third. Danvers just was able to pounce it on that loose puck.
Play resumes out to center ice. Cal Mansfield is intercepted by McCarthy. Here we go, left wing side, and it is Steve Hallinan. Backhander save goes around the cage. Can it be kept in? Nope. Comes out to center, falling down but slapping it in is Braden Clark. Hanlon is forechecking. Helping out, coming back for Danvers is Mansfield. Can't get it out of the zone, though. It's kept in by Hallinan. Tries to slide it ahead into the right wing corner looking for Munzing. Desmond will go back for it. Hanlon checking in the left wing corner, keeping it in. But Falcons form it up, and they'll bring it out with a 3-on-2. Now it's a 3-on-3 at the moment, and it's sent into the left wing corner diagonally by Desmond. Massiz drops it back to Desmond, right point, slap shot, belly save, midsection save by Doyle, he hangs on. 2-2 is our score. Bill Newell has been feeding us scores. We'll get to those as we can here. Essex Tech losing to Hamilton Wenham 4-2 tonight. After two, it was Saugus and Medford tied at 0. Winthrop beat Marblehead 2-1. North Reading, Lynn, Swampscott, all winners on the boys' side, and Peabody 3-1 over Medford on the girls' side. All final scores tonight. 5 minutes played. Danvers continues to press the attack. Falcons lose it, though. Cassidy, left wing side. Mento all over him. Centering pass. Knocked away easily by Pertel with back checking as well. Pertel fighting for the puck, trying to come up with it. Drops it back to the right point. Kept in by Cassidy. Gets it over to McCarthy. Threw a screen. He shoots it wide. Man, I don't know how Bublik could possibly have seen that. The other way. Here comes Mento again. He's putting on the Jets. He shoots and scores. And Dole still hasn't seen it.
I think he took him by surprise, Rick. I think Dole thought Mento was going to go around the net. And instead, he just flipped a high corner shot. And as you said, took him by surprise. He still hadn't seen it.
Mento, second of the night, 19 of the season. Now it is 3-3. So the Falcons have tied this thing up within the first 5.5 minutes and taken the lead. Two goals within a couple of minutes. And they're on top 3-2. And they have been swarming, man. They have been so aggressive on offense.
Well, it's interesting. I was talking to a friend of mine.
Here's this breakaway from Assiz. He shoots and scores! Well, they say it's Pertel with the goal and Mento the assist. I don't quite get that, but that's how it goes. Pertel gets the third goal. And now Massiz comes right back. He was sprung loose. And he put it topside. And now it's 4-2.
Well, again, that quick strike capability. And I was just saying that a friend of mine from Beverly was saying whoever scored the first goal in this third period would win the game. I just didn't figure that the first three goals of the period would belong to Danvers. So they've begun to assert themselves here.
All right, Massiz gets the goal, the fourth goal for Danvers. Taylor the assist. So let me go back on that third goal. Again, it is credited to Pertel with Mento getting the assist. So that's what we have to go with. So now it is 4-2. Danvers just exploding here for three quick goals in the first 5:41 of the third. And they're still down there shooting away. This one goes up over the cage to the faceoff will be to the left of Doyle.
And the referee's having a word with one of the Danvers players.
Injury, maybe? Well, one of the Danvers players has been assisted off the ice.
I would probably say, rather than assisted, escorted.
Well, we won't mention who, but there's no penalty, so I guess it doesn't matter. Again, no harm, no foul, apparently. Okay, so Beverly trying to get something going on offense. They are just shocked here with giving up three quick goals in this third period to see Danvers take the lead. There's another shot by Pertel. That goes wide. Man, he was set up in the slot. Meza brings it back. He is hammered at center ice by Massiz. And this is icing on Beverly. Icing on Beverly.
Well, the game is certainly turning those 5 minutes from close checking to wide open. And, of course, that plays into Damage's hand, the wide open skating.
Two goals in nine seconds for the Falcons. Hello? Face-off to the left of Doyle. 8:30 left to go in the game. Play is at center. Hanlon trying to come up with it. Massiz does. He's checked off the play by Hallinan. Hanlon can't do anything with it. Edson, at his own line, tries to make a play. Still with it with that long reach, trying to fend off a checker. Centers it. cleared away by the Falcons. Edson all the way back to his own line to collect it and send it up ahead to Hanlon again. He backhands it into the Danvers end. Owen Desmond whips it all the way around the boards, and Edson has it back in his own zone. Off the skate of Massiz, Edson gets it right back, but he has to skate behind his own cage.
That was off the skate of the official, Rick.
This will be icing on Beverly again. Well, this game has turned into the favor of Danvers most decidedly with those three quick goals. Four to two, Danvers leading, 7.5 minutes left to go. High school hockey here on MSO News Sports. Trending now with Josh Arnold at 10 a.m. on Friday. Back to the point it comes as Pertel is back at that left point. He shoots it wide. Now he'll go forward and Desmond will drop back into his position. Close between the circles, sends it down low left side. And there's a shot that goes across the goal mouth, comes to the right side, loose puck right out in front. Shot from that right side was by Desmond. It's in the left corner at the moment, out of sight. Beverly has it, gets it out of the zone. Cassidy trying to beat Desmond to the puck, does. Centering pass, only Falcons in front of the net, and they'll bring it right back. This is Colin Desmond with it. Right wing side, centering pass for Mento. On the doorstep, just saved by Doyle. Just able to flick it away at the last second. Back to the left point, it comes. Desmond slides it down to the right point, across the goal mouth. Cleared away by Beverly, and we got a penalty coming up, I think, on the Panthers, and they are just getting hammered. It's a shooting gallery out there right now. Another score from Bill Newell at Scoreboard Central. It's Newburyport 6, Triton 4 in a final. Big win for the Clippers. Saugus and Medford, Coach, how about this one? 0-0, final.
Wow.
Don't think I've ever heard of that in high school hockey before. Thank you, Bill. 0-0. Wow. 6.5 left to go in this one, and Danvers, Coach, you can feel Danvers pulling away in this one. Just control.
Danvers not making the passes they were in the second period that enabled them to get those two goals. And again, Danvers is just controlling.
Cassidy closes from that right point. Save by Bublik. Goes behind the cage. Beverly giving it a shot right now. Edson, center point, shoots it through a screen. Deflected. Oh, and it's blocked. Goes to the sideboard. Munzing tries to drop it back to Edson. Intercepted. Whistle. Penalty.
Interference.
On Danvers. No.
He showed the signal.
I don't know. I have no idea what this is, but the play was stopped in the middle of the play. Nobody's leaving the ice.
Coach Baldessari is like, what's
one, two,
the call
three,
here?
Four, five, five on five.
So,
delay a interference.
What's
he's calling. But on who?
Oh, okay.
It's on Matt Taylor, apparently. Taylor was already on the bench over here, on the team bench. So, penalty at 9:07 for the interference. Now, Beverly, you know what, Coach? If they score here, then they're back in it.
Yeah, right? And again, they're going to have to be very precise with their passing. They're going to have to try to, again, open up the Danvers defense like they did in the second period.
Face off to the left of Bublik. Edson slides it over on the left side to Hanlon. Tries to shoot, gets it over to McCarthy. Intercepted, but back at center point, Edson. Down low, shot, loose puck, save. Cleared by Danvers, but not out. Stolen by Edson in the slot. Passing it back and forth, goes to the left sideboards. Back out to the left point. Slap shot, nope. Drops it, McCarthy does, or check it, Meza does to Edson. He slides it down low to McCarthy. He shoots it. It's loose puck. It's still in the crease. It goes wide. Nobody with it right now. Falcons go down. Meza has it. Gets it back to Hanlon at the left point. Slides it over on the off wing to Edson. Turnaround shot in the slot. Saved by Bublik.
right lunging on the doorstep.
Right at his feet, and he fell down. The Beverly's moving the puck efficiently. They've managed to keep the puck in the zone. They haven't allowed Davis to get it out. But, again, they just haven't been able to crack that Davis defensive shell. And for Paul Edson, he's been on the ice a lot, but he really hasn't been able to exert himself in a dominant fashion. He had that one assist on the first Beverly goal, and he spent an awful lot of time, he's made an awful lot of passes. It seems like he's giving up passes or giving up opportunities to shoot the puck to try to get the perfect pass and get something together. I think he probably needs to exert himself into the offensive part, take a few more shots, and draw people to him, and that might open some things up.
Danvers takes a timeout. What's interesting on this power play is Beverly has their 2 points offside shots. Edson is a left-handed shot. He's playing the right point. Ordinarily, he's a left defenseman. And Hanlon is a right-handed shot, and he's playing the left point. So it's kind of cool the way they have that set up. They've got McCarthy out there with Meza. Who's the other forward? Trying to see who the other forward is.
Well, we continue our pattern of talking to
It's Munsey.
These coaches on Monday night. It'll be interesting conversation for sure to get their perspectives on how this game unfolded.
5:08 left to go in the game. 1:16 left to go in the man advantage for the Beverly Panthers. Face off to the left of the Danvers goalie, Bublik. Face off won by the Panthers. Edson off the board, centering pass out to McCarthy. Shoots it from long range. It's blocked. Centering pass again. Hanlon can't come up with it. Points uncovered. Edson gets it center point. Slides it down low. Left side, Munsing. Circling. Drops it to Edson. Slap shot. Redirected right into Bublik. And it's cleared by Danvers out of the zone. And we got a 2-on-1 for Danvers. Here comes Pertel sliding it to Mento. No call. That was a trip and no call at all. Beverly comes back the other way. Panther loses an edge, falls down. Shot, wrist shot by Munsing. Or check it by McCarthy. That goes up high into the netting. Face off will be to the left of Bublik. Apparently it was deflected before it went up in the net. 33 seconds left in a man advantage for Beverly. 4:25 left to go in the game. 2-goal advantage for the Falcons. They keep their power play unit out there. Haven't changed it up. They've got to be gassed here soon. McCarthy.
Well, you need your best snipers on the ice.
Danvers wins the faceoff, but it's intercepted by Edson at the line. And he'll send it low. Hanlon fighting Desmond for it. Meza there to help out. Meza has it. And he drops it to McCarthy, right wing side. Back to Edson, center point. Through the screen, Meza redirects. Loose puck in the crease, cleared away. Another shot, loose again, covered up by Bublik.
Again, Andrew Meza in the mix down in front of the net. Puck being knocked around. He just couldn't get a clean stick at it. Put a little zip on it, just deflects off his stick down in front.
11
Danvers goalie.
11 seconds left on the penalty to Taylor.
Well, Beverly certainly has had chances, Rick, to put the puck in the net and draw a goal closer, but they just haven't been able to do it.
Cassidy trying to make a play, but he is being dogged by Owen Desmond. Panthers have it. Find the wraparound. McCarthy. Meza scores! McCarthy sets up Meza. It's 4-3. Power play goal for Beverly. They're within a goal.
Well, certainly well-deserved. The amount of pressure that they put on the Danvers defense during that power play. They kept at it. They kept at it. They kept the puck in the zone, as I mentioned. And they kept buzzing around the Danvers goaltender, Bublik. And again, Meza got himself out in the slot, a la Phil Esposito from years gone by. And again, took the quick pass and just one-timed it to the glove side of Bublik. And again, it's a 4-3 game, 3:48 left. Who wants it?
McCarthy did all the work on that one, but we'll check the assist. Who knows?
There we go. So number 23, Andrew Meza. Assisted by number 11, Timmy McCarthy. And number 8, Aaron Carroll. Time of the goal is 11 minutes. 12 seconds.
All right, Carroll and McCarthy both get assists. McCarthy was doing the dog work. What a shot by Minto across the line. Stick save along the ice. Bounces up into the corner right side. So Minto right back for Danvers on the attack. Beverly down by one. Time is getting critical now for the Panthers. We're down to 3 minutes. Controlled by, here's Minto again. Drops it back looking for Pertel. Block. Where is it? It's out of sight right now, left wing corner. I can't see a thing, coach. Comes back to the point. Desmond keeps it in for Danvers on the left side. Down low. Centering pass. Goes over to the right side. Collected by DeShulo. Shoots it around for Minto. Goal line extended left side. He's got Pertel in the slot. Desmond is slot up high. And it's all Danvers passing right now. DeShulo shoots it. Minto on the doorstep with the rebound, and it's blocked. And Minto is hammered. No call. Coach Baldessari, oh, it is going to be a call. There will be a penalty on this one. But the penalty is going to be on Danvers. Boy, am I confused.
He just wrote him off the puck on that play after the shot.
Okay, no penalty. It was a delayed offside. Here comes Danvers on the attack again, right down the slot. Block. Falcons all over Beverly right now, leading by a goal. 2 minutes left to go in the game. Both teams at even strength. No penalties at the moment. Trying to spring loose Cassidy. He loses it at the line. Falcons come right back. Edson with it. Minute and 53. They're not letting Edson out of the zone. Loses it. Centering pass on the doorstep. Bodies fly all over the place. Doyle makes the save. Goes into the left wing corner. Panthers bring it out. Minute 42 left to go. Desmond slides it across in his own zone for Danvers. And they'll redirect into the Beverly end. First man down there is Jack Thibodeau. He gets some help from Puska. And Thibodeau heads to the net. Danvers intercepts. 1:27 left to go. Here comes Cassidy again. Picks up a wing. And he's got Hallinan with him. Centering pass goes wide. Right wing corner. Edson down low. Covering at the point, Munzing. Desmond has it. 1:13 left to go. In the game. One goal lead, Danvers. Falcons can't get it out of the zone. Kept in by Carroll. Check it by Cassidy at the point. And Beverly. Edson hacks at it. Comes out to center. Meza can't get it. Cassidy sends it in. Aaron Carroll with it. 50 seconds left to go. Empty net. Icing on Danvers. Empty net in the Beverly zone. 47 seconds left in this game. It ain't over yet. Face off to the right of Bublik. Six skaters up front. Well, the Panthers, and they'll take their timeout. Whew, I'm glad. Here, sip of water here.
Yeah, it's, and again, I don't think I've ever seen three faster periods of hockey in all my time of watching it, just up and down the ice. And but I mean, as chunky as it was, these guys just kept skating and taking advantage of the turnovers in center ice. Of again, just constantly sticks and feet and arms and legs getting in the way, blocking passes. Not as many open ice chances as you would think in the course of a high school game. Danvers managed that in that 5 minute period in the beginning of this period, Rick, where they scored the three quick goals. There was that opening that Beverly seemed to have some real holes in their defense, and the defensemen themselves were falling back. But other than that, they've been up on the Danvers plays when they've tried to move the puck. There've been misconnections on both sides. Danvers seems to have been able to take advantage of more of those loose pucks lying around, obviously by the score. But again, 47.1 seconds. Here to go.
Empty net down to our left. Face off to the right of Bublik. Danvers in. McCarthy against Pertel. Nobody wins it. They're still fighting for it. McCarthy has it. Hanlon tries to center it. Hanlon has it in the right wing corner. Drops it back to the point. Gets it back. Circle right. Drops it over to the left side. Misses connections. McCarthy has it though. Gets it over right side to Munzing. Comes over to the left midboards. Collected by Hallinan. And it comes out to center ice with 23 seconds left to go. Time is of the essence. Edson has it. 15 seconds. Beverly doesn't have it in the zone yet. 12 seconds. McCarthy, right wing side, 10 seconds. Centering pass. Hamlin can't come up with it. 6 seconds. Centering pass again. It's in the slot. It's in the crease. It's loose. It goes behind the cage, and that's the game. And now we've got a stick fight. All right. Broken up very quickly. Two players swinging sticks at each other. Okay, 4-3 is the final coach. We'll take a break. Taj Coakley goes by and he's singing. 4-3 is the score. Danvers wins it. We'll take a break and wrap this thing up kind of quickly. 4-3, Danvers.
Ever wish that help with your business was as nearby as your next door neighbor? At Cape Ann Savings Bank, we're the folks who have helped our neighbors build prosperous communities since 1846. And we invite you to give us a call, discuss your vision, and learn how we can help you grow your business. We're here for you. You have questions. We have answers. Just give us a call, 888-283-CASB, or visit capeannsavingsbank.com. Member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
Well, Danvers holds on and wins by a score of 4-3. They came out flying in the third period, scoring three quick goals to turn a 2-1 deficit into a 4-2 lead as Connor Pertel scored at 2:46, assist to Thibodeau and Massiz, and then Pertel picking up another goal at 5:32, assist to Mento that time, making it 3-2 Danvers, and then Massiz coming right back 9 seconds later, assist to Taylor, making it 4-2. Beverly showing their resilience, coming back at 11:12. Getting on the scoreboard with Meza being set up by McCarthy and Carroll. That was a power play effort, and that cut the gap to 4-3. But the Panthers couldn't close it out, and the Danvers Falcons win again. Three goals, though, however, scored by the Panthers. The other goals, Mento got the Falcons on the scoreboard back in the first period at 10:42, making it 1-0 after one. And then Danvers took the lead in the second. Meza, power play goal at 7:23, tying it up. And Hallinan from Hamlin at 11:56 of the second made it 2-1. But then three quick goals, as we said, by Danvers Falcons, making it 4-2. Beverly coming back with one more, but they couldn't quite close the gap.
Wow. For my first high school hockey game of the season, it was the right one to pick for sure. Up and down. It was clunky at times as both teams were skating so hard and literally getting in each other's way, as I mentioned many times during the broadcast, leaving a lot of passes, a lot of missed passes, because the defensive team was just being so disruptive, and I'd like to have seen it end in a tie, so we do both teams to get something out of the effort. Especially that last minute for Beverly with 6 men on the ice, they really put some great pressure on the Danvers defense and the Danvers goalie, but just couldn't break through for that last one.
So for the Danvers Falcons, they now move to 12-1-0 overall. They have scored a total of 63 goals and allowed 21. Meanwhile, the Beverly Panthers will fall to 9-5-3 overall. For Danvers, they'll be taking on Winthrop right here at 5:40 on Saturday. And the Beverly Panthers will be traveling to UMass on Friday, a 3:30 game, according to what we're looking at, being played at the Mullen Center as they will take on Westfield. So that'll do it from here. Final score is the Beverly Panthers losing this one, Danvers 4 and Beverly 3. So on behalf of Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, and the voice of the North Shore who fed us all these scores tonight, scoreboard coming up in a little while, I'm Rick Moore. This is MSONewsports.com.